That's going to move us into the 11th chapter of Isaiah, and this is probably a familiar passage. We're about 3 weeks early on its normal timing. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike with the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is a problem that we have in the Christian church with prophecy in the Old Testament, and it's that we think we know the answers. Because we all know that the shoot that comes out of the stump of Jesse is Jesus. It is like the old joke we tell about children's sermons, that the pastor is sitting there describing this thing that, well, it runs on all fours, and it has gray fur and a bushy tail, and it likes nuts, and it lives in a tree. And one of the kids looks at him with disgust and says, well, it sure sounds like a squirrel, but this is church, so the answer has to be Jesus. Right? We think we know the answers, and so when we read these two passages in Isaiah, we read them with our answer already in mind. That the vineyard that is producing sour, wild grapes is the people of God in the Old Testament. And isn't it sad that they just didn't get it? And isn't it wonderful that we completely get it now? Right? Dangerous connection to make there. And then a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. And we know, because we've read ahead, we know that Jesse has a kid named David, and we know that the house and lineage of David, and we already know what's going to happen in Matthew, and yes, it's Jesus! But that wouldn't make it prophecy like the power of Scripture that continues speaking. That would make it once and done prophecy, and it would kind of make it like God is assuming that we would get the point the first time God told us the story, which, well, that just isn't how things work out, is it? So what struck me as I was reading these passages is that this is not the first time we will hear a passage and a parable about vineyards and growing things. We'll get that a lot in the New Testament. But also, what happens if we read it as though we don't know the answer already? What if we read Isaiah 5, God talking about a vineyard that God has built walls around and a watchtower and a wonderful vat to produce wine in, and carefully tended and pruned the grapes? What if, just what if, God is talking about American Christians who've grown up with stained glass windows and beautiful pipe organs and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings set aside for them to worship God, protected from every outside influence. And we have produced wild grapes. What if? What if we read Isaiah 5 as though it's talking about the children that we have striven to give everything for and kept safe, and they have turned into wild grapes? I mean, I know that would never happen in any of your families. It only happened in one out of two kids in my parents' family. Right. What if this isn't just an Old Testament parable prophecy targeted at ancient people who are long gone? What if this is still a prophetic vision for the church? Because it's an interesting passage that God is suddenly going to stop caring for the vineyard. I mean, if this is God and this is God's vineyard, and we've read the rest of the story, how quickly does God give up on us? I mean, God may be more stubborn than we are, and we are pretty stubborn. So it's not that God is going to, you know, send one of those bolts of lightning and level the vineyard. It's that God is simply going to move on and do something else and redirect those resources and time elsewhere. So what's going to happen to the vineyard? Well, it's going to get thorny. It's going to get overgrown. We know that there will still be grapevines in the vineyard. We know that some things grow better in adverse conditions. We know that some of us only learn at the school of hard knocks. What if that is a parable for the church in America today, dwindling as it is, having been protected and given everything good, but not producing much? And then we jump ahead six chapters and stop with the Jesus, okay? Just stop with the Jesus. It's not Jesus for right now. I have a redbud tree at the southeast corner of my house. And we bought the house with snow on the ground, so I could see the cracked slab in the garage, but I didn't know why it was cracked. And then there, right hard up against that southeast corner of the house, is a redbud stump that is this big around. Well, I know how the slab got cracked. Have you ever tried to kill a redbud tree? I have been trying to kill that thing for five stinking years. And every year, there are more shoots coming out of that stump. Every year. It has been Roundupped. It has been engine oiled. It has been salted. It has been chainsawed. It has been hand snipped. And I guarantee you, in 3 months, there will be more shoots coming out of that redbud tree. What is that if it's not a prophetic vision about Jesus? What is it, a statement about the church and about the people of God? You get a stump. We can get a stump for a number of reasons, right? We can get a stump because there was a May 8th storm. And the tree is pushed over, and it's not going to live, and we need to cut it down, or it's on the house, or whatever. We can get a stump. We can get a stump because we burn wood for heat, and we're just going to cut that tree down and turn it into wood. We can get a stump because it's something growing in the wrong place, as far as we're concerned. And so we're going to chop it down. We can get a stump because we thought it was going to grow and we tried to do everything and it just didn't. And if we stop at the stump, then we're done. But sometimes stumps aren't really dead, right? So we've had the conversation a number of times about how this church is misnamed because we're not really First Presbyterian Church. First Presbyterian Church was actually founded in 1839 on the square. And then in 1870, it moved out to the crossroads and became Crossroads Presbyterian Church and became defunct about 1900-ish. And then in 1907, this was founded as the First Presbyterian Church. Well, some of those people overlap. And some of that story overlaps. And so we can describe this very church as a shoot coming out of the stump. Tom, how many surgeries has Marion Medical Mission done in the last 35 years? How many wells do we have?
38,000.
Wells are a chute coming out of a stump. And now we're much more interested in talking about the chute than we are about the stump. The power of prophecy isn't that it taught us something then, and we're still learning that same lesson about those same people who didn't get it right the first time. The power of prophecy is it's still talking to us now. Every church I've ever been a part of, from when I was a kid to when I was now, when I'm still a kid compared to half of the members, that's how they think of me, has had a disaster doomsday scenario. What will we do if this happens? I don't know how we'll ever make it if so-and-so stops teaching Sunday school. Gayla, you're not allowed to retire. Gayla is not the only Sunday school teacher this church has ever had. And once upon a time, there was somebody else who we said, oh, dear God, what will we ever do if... We witness stumps growing shoots every day. I was completely prepared not to preach today because Silas told me he was going to preach. And then in the hallway, lined up with the choir, you know, the chaos of the choir coming in, he goes, Pastor Wade, I got to tell you, I'm not preaching today. Having a child who imagines that they might be called to preach is a shoot coming out of a stump. We have to believe that God is still doing God's thing. And that sometimes that involves vineyards going fallow. And sometimes it involves shoots coming out of stumps. We, all of us, will struggle at some point with not being able to do what we did before and get the same results. That is a vineyard that has gone from, I know exactly what I'm doing and exactly the result I want and exactly how I'm going to get it, to, huh, I did everything right and I got wild grapes. How many of you feel that way with your computer or your smartphone on a regular basis? Uh-huh. This is not an experience confined to 7th century BC Judea. For us to be the people of God, we have to believe that God is still doing God's thing. God is perhaps infinitely more stubborn than we are. Perhaps it might be quantifiable because we're very stubborn. And God is willing to do more than we can imagine. Now, both of these passages, I think, actually stopped too early in the lectionary. So I'm going to read you the next chunk of both of them. Because things change. Things particularly change in chapter 11. Familiar. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It takes the vineyard falling apart to get to a stump, to get to a shoot. We can't be successful all the time. Outside of our mere human limitations, we can't be successful all the time, because we miss a huge chunk of the experience of being human. How many of you want to admit you don't do things as well as you used to do? And I said, how many of you want to admit that? I didn't ask how many of you admitted that. Almost none of us want to admit that. Begrudgingly, in a mumbled kind of voice, we might admit that we don't do nearly as well as we used to do some things. But is that not part of our experience? Fruit trees age. Old grapevines do not produce the same as young grapevines. Orchards have to be cut down and started over. Land has to lay fallow for a season. We often struggle with death and destruction as though they are not part of life. You need a stump to get a shoot. That's the narrative here. So if this isn't just about Judea and Jesus, if it's not just a grand prophetic story about the good old days of the unfaithful, how is it a message to the faithful today? If we take seriously that a shoot will come out of a stump, can you hear the promise of a stone being rolled away and life coming out of a tomb? If you take seriously life coming out of a tomb, what is so terrifying about death? If we hear that Isaiah is not just speaking to some old, long-dead people, but that God is speaking through Isaiah to God's people, can you identify stumps and shoots in our mission and ministry? Can you identify vineyards we've built that produced wild grapes? Are you ready to let the vineyard go and start watching the shoots? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.